37. Psalm 37. You're going to try to undertake the entire psalm. 40 verses. A psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be not envious toward wrongdoers. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plots against the righteous, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they will have abundance. But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish, like smoke they vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice, and he does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand or let him be condemned when he is judged. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright, for the man of peace will have a posterity. But transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth that we find here, that we are secure because of who You are and not in and of ourselves. Give us good hope in You and in Your promises and in Your Word, we pray, asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2010, I met Kenny McLeod. He was 104 years old. I went to visit him on a pastoral visit to bring him some encouragement from the Word and to encourage him in his ripe years. And I left that house as the one having been encouraged, the one greatly blessed and having been ministered to. And in talking with him, I didn't even get to say much. I introduced myself and he said, "Oh, you're here for Westminster." That was the Presbyterian Church, the PCA Church in Sydney, Nova Scotia. And I was there for the summer. And he said, "Oh, you're here. That's my church. Let me tell you of my life." And he began and he said, "As I look back over my life, I see the providence of God and know that He is the one who brought me through it all. Through all the trouble, through all the trial, through all the tribulation, and for what seemed like a long time, he recounted God's providence in his life." The psalm is something like that. David says as much, "I have been young, and now I am old." David gives us this psalm and he recounts the faithfulness, the work of God. He's looking back over his life and what he's doing is teaching the next generation. Psalm 37 is a lot like Psalm 1. It's a wisdom psalm. It doesn't directly address God, but it's a spilling out, an overflow of a man who has walked with the Lord, and the Lord has blessed him and richly grown him in grace and in truth and in the knowledge of his Savior. And it flows out of him. This psalm, like Psalm 119, is an acrostic. Each verse of the psalm begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It doesn't show up, of course, in our translation because our alphabet doesn't correspond to theirs. But like Psalm 119, like Psalm 9, Psalm 10, Psalm 25, Psalm 34, Psalm 37, 111, 112, and 145, it's an acrostic. Now, we don't know necessarily why they were written, why they were given an acrostic, perhaps to aid in memorization, to aid in singing the Psalms. But it does. It sets out in that way. And with it, as with all the acrostic Psalms, it's a little difficult to divide. There's no real clear breaks. If you try to divide it into portions strictly by believing in the wicked, you'd have to divide verse 1 and 2 and then 3 through 7. Well, the first half of 7. The second half of 7 through 10. 11 would be a verse by itself, or a portion by itself. 12 through 17. And then 18 through, and on and on. It would divide up a little strange. You could take the really big themes and divide it up that way. For instance, verses 1 through 11. If you wanted to find a general theme there, you see that David's comforting God's people as they face afflictions in life. Verses 12 through 15, he considers the way of the wicked. Verses 16 through 24, he contrasts the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. 25 through 33, he counsels God's people as an aged counselor, as a man of wisdom. And in 34 through 40, he puts the big picture before us. But that's not how we're going to divide it. We're going to divide this text mostly in terms of those who do not fret, or who are not to fret because of evildoers. Mostly in terms of the contrasts that are here. Which means, because of this, we're not going to touch every single verse. It's 40 verses. And it would take a while. It rightly could be broken up over several weeks to do Psalm 37. But we're going to contrast it in this way. We're going to take a look at Psalm 37. Firstly, in the believer's planting. We're going to take that verses 1 through 7. The first half of 7. Contrasting with the grass that withers quickly of the unbeliever. Then the believer's inheritance. And you could rightly divide this psalm up over all the times that we see that the righteous will inherit the land. There are several times throughout. But the believer's inheritance. And we're going to see the believer's repose, his rest in the Lord. And the believer's position, verses 20 through 25. The believer's growing grace, 26 through 31. And his safety. Verses 32 through 40. So there you have it. His planting, his inheritance, his repose, his position, his growing grace, and his safety. So what about this planting? Look at the verses. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait for Him, or wait patiently for Him. You get glimpses of Psalm 1 here, except instead of starting with the righteous, He begins with the wicked. And the contrast is very much like that chaff, which is going to be driven away. They wither. They dry up quickly. And then He tells us about the believer. And you have to remember that as David writes this, by his own admission, he says he's an old man. He's somebody who's seen a lot. Think about this. David has likely seen more than most all of us will ever see. How many of you have killed a lion for taking one of your father's sheep? What about a bear? Have you ever stood down face to face of a giant of a man, 9 feet tall, whose shield and spear and armor weighed well over 100 pounds? Been to battle, face to face, hand to hand, with sword and shield, and having to look someone in the eye. He's been almost murdered several times. Once by a madman, a king, who threw a javelin at him and hunted him like a dog. By his own son. He's been through a lot. And he begins this psalm with these words: do not fret. Do not fret because of evildoers. Don't be envious toward them. You are planted in a more secure place than they will ever be. He's looking back over his life, and he's offering this wisdom and insight into the world. And he's saying, listen, you have no reason, if you are a believer, to fear man. They're nothing but grass. They'll be driven away. They will dry up. They will fade. And then you get this picture of the planting of the believer. Trust in the Lord. Dwell, right? Be planted in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Or it could rightly be translated, and feed on His faithfulness. The believers are planted in the place, in the way of the Lord. And so David is writing here of this. And as he speaks of the fear of man and against the fear of man, he wants us, of course, to have the fear of the Lord, doesn't he? I heard recently, I was listening to Eric Alexander as he was preaching, and he said this: "The fear of man is the fear of what he might do to me." That's why David's saying, "Do not fret because of evildoers." The fear of man is the fear of what he might do to me. The fear of the Lord is the fear of what I might do to him, grieve him, and grieve his Holy Spirit. The believer is planted in contrast to the unbeliever. We are those who trust the Lord, who don't seek out wrong, who dwell in the land. And as you see the planting here, this sort of rest, this sort of picture of being in the land of the Lord, you get this sort of calm. The grass withers. It does quickly, he says, right? The grass will wither quickly. And the opposite of that is this dwelling, this abiding in the land and cultivating faithfulness. How long does it take to cultivate a good garden? A while. If you're going to cultivate faithfulness, it's a resting in the Lord for a while. And then he goes on and contrasts then the believer's inheritance, right? They have nothing. They are but grass. They will wither away. And so he tells us, "Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way." The one who has everything here and now, all the toys with all the bells and whistles, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing, for evildoers will be cut off. Again, Psalm 1, they will not stand. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land. Does that sound familiar? You know the Sermon on the Mount, right? That's Jesus is quoting Scripture in the Sermon on the Mount. The humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. You get Psalm 1, you get Psalm 73 that follows, that we're not to look out, and see the prosperity of the wicked and covet it or go after it or run after it, for we have a greater inheritance. And again, you can look back in those verses 3 through 7. That our inheritance is greater. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the land. He will give you the desires of your heart. And when he speaks of giving the land, of course, for David and for Israel, they're thinking immediately of that land. But they know, right, that this isn't their home. What does the Scripture say of Abraham in Hebrews 11? He was looking to that city. Ultimately, they weren't just looking for a 2 mile by 50 mile plot of land in Palestine. They were looking to be with the Lord. The inheritance that we have is far greater. Those who are wicked, those who are not trusting in the Lord, who are not looking out to Him, those who work and plot and carry out wicked schemes, they have no hope. They have no inheritance. And so those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. If you contrast that, the wicked will be cut off. You will look for them and they will be no more. And then you get the believer's repose. I wanted to use a nice sounding word. The believer's rest. In verses 12 through 19, right? The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent the bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine, they will have abundance. The believer has a rest. The rest that they have isn't of this world. It's, well, Philippians will say it, or the scripture will say it, a peace that surpasses understanding. We have a repose. We have a rest. We have, as we saw in Psalm 46, a refuge and a strength. This is David looking back over his life, having had people gnash their teeth at him, literally and figuratively, having had people want to destroy him. And he knows that the Lord laughs. The Lord laughs because he knows their end. And we take comfort. We may not laugh through our fiery trials and our struggles and our tribulations. We probably don't laugh, but we do have rest and comfort to know that what awaits is greater than what is. And so it is better. It's better to have the little of the righteous, because the Lord sustains the righteous, and the Lord knows the way of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They may destroy your body, Jesus says, but don't fear them. Don't worry about them, because they cannot touch what you have through the Lord, the inheritance. You fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell forever. And then David tells us of our position, the believer's position, verses 20 through 25. The wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him, that is the Lord, will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. This is our position. And if you read this and you don't go, now wait. This is David, right? The same David. He's saying he's old now. The same David that took a man's wife and murdered him, and yet he's talking about being righteous. How can he do this? How can he do this? He's righteous because he trusts in the promise of God, and the righteousness of another has been given to him. This is not some case for antinomianism that we can live any way that we please and still name the name of Christ. No, this is a man who has lived, and he knows his heart, and he knows that his sin is far greater, far blacker than murder and adultery with Bathsheba. He knows it's even worse than that. Because just like Paul, I'm sure that he would say at this point in life that he is the chief of sinners. And yet he has hope in the gospel. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul quotes David from just a few pages earlier in Psalm 32. Paul quotes him in Romans 4. And listen to what he says. Because you know that Psalm 32 is the other psalm that David penned after having sinned that sin. Listen to Romans 4. But just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. David has hope in the gospel. He has hope in the promise of the Lord, that this promised one who will be a greater David, who will sit on his throne, who will reign in his stead forever, that he will set right and he will do what David could not. David is upheld by the promise of God. His position is secure because God began a good work in him and would carry it to completion. His position is secure because Jesus would say of this one, this shepherd, that even he needed the greater shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus says this, John chapter 10, he says, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And so what's the position? What is the promise that we have? When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong. David knew this because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Or it could be rightly translated, who sustains him with his hand. He's secure in his position because the position is not one that he earned, but it's the position of grace. And so then he knows that believers grow in grace. And so that's what you get in 26 through 31. All day long, he, the believer, is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of the Lord, or his God, is on his heart. His steps do not slip. See that growth in grace? He says they will not, when they fall, they will not be hurled headlong. And then he says of them that they grow, that they will depart. He issues the command, but he's expecting it to be a reality, that they will depart from evil and do good. That they will desire the justice that the Lord loves. The Lord will not leave them. And the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. We grow in holiness. We grow in grace because we grow in the Word. And so believers grow in grace. And then we see the believer's safety. don't we? The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. And the Lord will not leave him in his hand or let him be condemned when he is judged. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright. For the man of peace will have a posterity, but transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. You're secure. You are safe. No matter what you endure, no matter that through which you go, no matter what wicked people plot against you, no matter what the world, the flesh, and the devil might do to you, the Lord will exalt you to inherit the land, and He will cut off the wicked. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And then you get that great the sermon text from this line. They take refuge in Him. Believers are safe in opposition to the wicked. Because the wicked take refuge from Him. They try to hide themselves from God. They don't want anything to do with Him. But the believer takes refuge in Him. And they are saved. And so Kenny MacLeod and David both could look back over their life and know the Lord brought them through. They see the providence and the hand of God in their life. And as believers, as we think on the Word, as we meditate on it, as we look to the promises of God, as we draw near to Him, as we make use of the means of grace, may the Lord bless us to look back over our lives and say the exact same thing as the psalmist. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. The Lord will keep His people. And this is our hope. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your goodness.